Welcome to this sacred time and this sacred place. It's wonderful to see so many of you back after school vacation trips and snowed-in Sundays. I want to particularly welcome anyone who may be new among us today. We are truly honored to have you here. And among those who's here for the first time is our guest preacher today, the Reverend Roger Pelletier, who's part of our wonderful staff at the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry. And welcome, Roger. Each week, our worship service is an invitation to come and go together to a place that calls out the best part of ourselves, to a place where we're reminded of who we are and what we stand for. It's an invitation to learn, to share, in Roger's words, to make love visible, an invitation to connect with each other, to connect with what is sacred, and with that force of love and justice that is greater than all of us. Today in our worship service, we also invite you to go together to another place, to our urban ministry. Not literally this morning, although later in the service there will be an invitation for you to go there once or twice during the next month, but to go in spirit, remembering that the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry is our social justice ministry. I'm going to need a couple of helpers to work with me today because our junior youth choir is going to be actually singing the finale of this message. I think I'll just ask them if they would come up now. So I think it's Liz, Ruby, and Sheena who are singing today. Is that right? Would you mind coming up now? Next time we'll get you guys, okay?
This is the sound of one voice, one spirit, one voice, the sound of one who makes a choice. This is the sound of one voice, this is the sound of one voice. This is the sound of voices too, the sound of me singing with you, helping each other to make it through. This is the sound of voices too, this is the sound of voices too. This is the sound of voices three, singing together in harmony, surrendering to mystery. This is the sound of voices three, this is the sound of voices.
Wonderful.
Good morning. You know, it's good to see so much energy at the first service. That's not always the case. I'm really glad to see you, and I'm glad to be here. This morning's reading is called Famous by Naomi Shihab Nye. The river is famous to the fish. The loud voice is famous to silence, which knew it would inherit the earth before anybody said so. The cat sleeping on the fence is famous to the birds watching him from the birdhouse. The tear is famous briefly to the cheek. The idea you carry close to your bosom is famous to your bosom. The boot is famous to the earth, more famous than the dress shoe, which is famous only to floors. The bent photograph is famous to the one who carries it, and not at all famous to the one who is pictured. I want to be famous to shuffling men who smile while crossing streets, sticky children in grocery stores, famous as the one who smiles back. I want to be famous in the way a pulley is famous, or a buttonhole, not because it did anything spectacular, but because it never forgot what it could do. A couple of months ago, while I was driving home — I live in Providence, for those of you who don't know. Anyway, I was driving home, and just around dusk, I rounded the bend right near Providence Place Mall, and into view came the Rhode Island State House, pretty in pink. Pink. It turns out this was the time for breast cancer awareness, and the usually white State House dome was washed in bright pink lights. And I was dumbstruck. I had never in all my years seen anything like this before. I'm sure many of you remember when we first started wearing those pink lapel ribbons to raise awareness for breast cancer and the ways to treat and prevent it. Said ribbons were followed by fundraising walkathons and the like, tried and true strategies, and now a whole state was proudly and pinkly proclaiming its support for the cause and standing on the side of love. Never doubt that a small group of citizens can change the world. Indeed, they can. Think pink progression. I remember early in my ministry sporting pink upside-down triangles in response to the visit at the Bedford High School by the infamous Westboro Baptist Church. You may have heard of them. You may be aware of their hateful rhetoric and condemnation for all who are different than they are. Diversity isn't a core value for them. I remember they arrived to protest the high school's formation of a gay-straight alliance. After spending the whole day counseling the children in the high school and acting as a chaplain, I joined the Bedford parishioners that lined the streets with their backs turned to Reverend Phelps so as to shield their kids from his psychological violence. There was another time that a fellow minister, your own Sylvia Stalker, and I had a fake wedding at a Sunday service. Sylvia and I both wore pink and marched together down the center aisle of that church to demonstrate how easy it would be for us to marry a gay man and a straight woman who weren't even in love. But we couldn't marry our true loves because at least one of them was the wrong gender for the formula. Because of many of you and the good people of Massachusetts, marriage equality was shortly thereafter made available to all people lining this state house's steps. It took a while, but this eventually opened the door for me to finally marry my own spouse, John Hickey, just this past August on our 15th anniversary. This time I wasn't wearing pink, but I have been tickled pink to read and to hear about your commitments to justice. Your website says you find passion in helping, and I, for one, believe it. Where else can you find friendship kits being shared with Southeast India? What a great lesson for our children, participating and sharing. Then there's Grow a Row and the underlying intent to feed the hungry. Along with that, you're keeping the peace with regular vigils that call for war no more. And you are good Samaritans, reaching out to the poor and the prisoner alike with your Jobs Not Jails program, for instance. You never forgot what you could do. And your claim is true. Your social justice work is grounded in our seven principles, and you include those who hunger, those who seek justice, and those who struggle with poverty and environmental degradation. Choose to bless the world. Indeed and indeed, you do. Rebecca Parker, who penned that commandment, if you will, went on to describe the gifts we get in return for making that choice, for choosing to bless the world and for doing this sacred work. Though you no doubt already know this, she said, "The choice to bless the world can take you into community and into the company of the earth, its chorus of life welcoming you. None of us can save the world alone, but together, well, that's another possibility waiting. If there is anything of a core UU theology, this is part of it, that when we get together, anything is possible. Our work is making the plausible possible, the imagined real." One of my mentors used to say, "Keep coming together and do something." Now, I know that you get that all of our vibrant congregations have one or two, shall we say, spirited people, people with strong opinions. That can be all of us, and that can make our churches a tough place to do the work calling out to us. Getting us together really is like herding cats sometimes, and getting us to agree borders on the miraculous. Yet, we somehow manage to keep coming together, and we do manage to do some wonderful things. But this isn't easy. Sometimes our work is too hard and too close to home. Do you remember that fateful summer not so long ago when a Tennessee gunman arrived in one of our churches intending to do serious harm? You may not have heard about the response to that day. In a full-page ad in the New York Times, that congregation said, "Our doors and our hearts will remain open." Now, it would be understandable if the Knoxville Unitarian Universalists responded with despair. They'd have every good reason. But instead, they greeted hatred with love and created meaning out of a horribly destructive act. Their courage, their love, and their unbreakable spirit became an inspiration to Unitarian Universalists everywhere. Can you imagine yourself saying words at a time like that? Odds are you have in your own way, because you use do this. I remember this moment like it was yesterday. The prelude was just about to begin, signaling the start of Sunday worship, and right then we learned of the first casualty of the Iraqi war, with the death of Private First Class John Hart. We opened our doors and our hearts to the family of John Hart Jr. that Sunday morning, and in the days to follow, we sat with the family in silence for what seemed like hours, despite some very harsh criticism leveled at the church earlier by John Hart Sr., who protested that our anti-war peace banners hanging at the front of the church were unconstitutional in some way. It is good that our attention to one another's worth and dignity prevents us from holding grudges. That's why I love Unitarian Universalism so much. That's why I am so grateful to you. By your generosity and by your care, you have made ministries like mine possible. I just mentioned a few of your in-house justice engagement, but let's not forget all you're doing for the urban ministry, as Tom just mentioned. Sharing the plate, cooking a Wednesday night supper, providing small children with Explorers Club activities, and all that is just for the month of March. You may know that Tom has served our board, as he said, for some 10 years, but he's responsible for much greater work in Roxbury. He mentioned the Bill Schultz event that will be happening on April 13th. He modestly forgot to mention that he's responsible for putting that event together, which means you need to save the date and rent a bus. It's true. You and Tom have done much for the urban ministry. And yes, this sermon is something of a love letter, a truly heartfelt thank you. It's also a call to engage more still and more deeply. I love the Gibran book, The Prophet, for its words on work. A plowman said, "Speak to us of work," and he answered, saying, "When you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns into music. And in keeping yourself with labor, you are in truth loving life. And to love life through labor is to be intimate with life's innermost secret. It is to charge all things you fashion with a breath of your own spirit. Our work is love made visible." Now, the idea of work and love being connected puts a different spin on social action, wouldn't you say? And it can be especially meaningful when we think about it in terms of direct service to people like the Roxbury community. Our work is more than a market exchange. It is an offering, not a commodity. In a world that measures the value of work by the price it brings in the marketplace, creative effort with no guarantee of reward can look like a waste of time and energy. Until we come to understand that submitting to the work we are called to do is an act of devotion. By this, we're all asked to look at the world with love, to listen for the ways it calls us, and to respond as best we can. And this can take unlimited forms, from wearing lapel ribbons to walking, praying, serving, teaching. Our service is endless. It is no accident that the tagline at the Urban Ministry is uniting communities, transforming lives. Because by our coming together, we are changed. And by our service, we are served. You already know there is plenty for you to do. Still, can you imagine yourself doing just a little more? Feeding young minds and bodies by tutoring or cooking, knowing that yours may be the only nourishment our students will receive that day. Can you show up for big events like the Schultz event, knowing that your presence alone changes the perception that people in Roxbury have of us? As surely as your own self-perception will change when you visit Roxbury. We need you. Please come. Period. That's really the whole sermon. Your service is really endless, but from it much can grow. Here's a humorous, tongue-in-cheek parable. There once was a woman who wanted peace in the world and things like that, and she became very frustrated. She thought the world seemed to be falling apart, and she was feeling kind of depressed. So she decided to go shopping. She went into a mall and picked a store at random, and when she walked in, she was surprised to see Jesus in Stowe, of all places, working behind the counter. She knew it was Jesus, of course, because he looked just like those devotional pictures that she had always seen. Finally, she got up her nerve and said, "Excuse me, are you Jesus?" To which he said, "I am if you say I am." "Do you work here?" "Yes." "Oh, well, what is it that you sell here?" "Just about anything." "Anything?" "Sure, anything. Go walk around, take this pad, write it down, let us know what you want." And the woman did just that. And when she walked up and down the aisles, she saw things on the shelves like peace on earth over here, and end hunger and poverty over here, and new education over here. And there was a huge section for love right over there on clearance. She scribbled in her pad furiously, and by the time she got back to the counter, she had a really long list. Jesus took the list and skimmed through it. "No problem, no problem, no problem." Then he bent down and took out a bunch of packets and dealt them out in front of her. "What are these?" she asked. "Seed packets," he said. "You mean I don't get the finished product?" "No, this is a place of dreaming and of inspiration. You come here to see what something might look like, and then you get the seeds. You do the work of planting them and nurturing them and helping them to grow." "Oh," she said, and she left the store without buying a thing. And there you have it. Not even Jesus can sell us peace or happiness or love. But we can grow them. When I saw the pink Providence lights a little while back, I was returning from an urban ministry event. We had gathered the Roxbury and Greater Boston community leaders to take part in a restorative justice event about mass incarceration. We started the day with a screening of The House I Live In, which is a provocative documentary about the structures of racism and racial profiling that highlight the disparity of black versus white men in our jails. This turned out to be an incredibly powerful day in which much transformational work took place. The seeds of understanding and compassion and learning were all well planted, such that the very next day, the Massachusetts Attorney General's office called us on a Sunday, no less, to ask how they could become a part of the conversation and the solution. Imagine that. Imagine what we can do if we but try. Indeed, our beliefs and our values, our UU faith, provides us the seeds to transform lives. But it is up to us to plant them, to grow the world we want. It is up to us to dream and scheme together. It is up to us to call out and live out this central tenet of Unitarian Universalism, that the human family is one, and that all that binds us is greater than all that divides us. No matter what befalls us, nothing breaks us. Our work is love made visible. And there are extremely poignant examples for us to look to. I'm thinking of an Amish people possessed with such unimaginable love that they could lower their small children's coffins into the ground and then set up a trust fund for the family of their children's murderer on some ordinary school day. People that could visit the shooter's parents and bake them pies because they hold a vision of love that is more real than death or division. Even when they can't see that vision through their own tears and their grief, they don't abandon their faith in its reality, but instead take a first step toward a future that is more real and more hopeful. That's the kind of love you and I are called to make real and visible in our communities and our urban ministries, that we might feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and welcome the stranger, bind up the broken. Yes, friends, it is up to us. So says the Dalai Lama. We can reject everything else, religion, ideology, all received wisdom. But we cannot escape the necessity of love. And so it is, my friends, that our doors and our hearts must always remain open, that we may know now and tomorrow how to choose to bless the world and make love visible. Amen.
Our words of benediction come from Laurel and Bellamy. If here you've found freedom, take it with you into the world.
If you have found comfort, go and share it with others.
If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true.
If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world.
Go
in peace.